Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits, episode 71. Tonight's podcast episode will be from Ode to the Dark to Caledonia, the Art of Sherried Single Malts. I'm Judy.
I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
John wasn't sure there for a minute.
I know.
Yeah, sometimes I forget who I am.
I know. It's hard.
It was a hit in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
was right before we came in the door. Ah. No. So, it's probably no surprise we're doing sherried cask scotch.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be our jam lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherry jam. Anyway, that was bad. So, since we've done so much sherry cask finished scotch, I thought maybe we should have a little history of sherry cask scotch whiskey over time. Mm-hmm. So, the origins of sherry being used in scotch is that I thought it was going to be good tonight. Began in the 18th and 19th century when sherry was one of Britain's most popular imported drinks. Mm-hmm. Sherry from Spain's Jerez, mm-hmm. which comes from the Arabic, because there was the question, why is it pronounced that way? Because mm-hmm. it's of Arabic origin. The Jerez region was shipped to the UK in large oak butts. Which, once emptied, were sold among the masses. Mm-hmm. And I need to put my glasses on so I can read my notes. Sorry. And Scottish distillers quickly discovered that these seasoned casks transformed their spirit by adding rich, fruity, and nutty flavors that elevated whiskey from a raw, fiery drink into something more refined, mm-hmm. where you would actually stick your pinky out.
Well, that would sip.
But by the 1800s, sherry butts had become the standard maturation vessel for Scotch whiskey. Distilleries such as Macallan, Glenfarclas, and Glendronach built their reputations on whiskey matured entirely in sherry casks. Hmm. These whiskeys became known for their deep amber color, flavors of dried fruit, spice, and chocolate, and their rich character. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can say cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cheers. When the golden age of all this mm-hmm. declined in the mid-20th century, Spain changed its export laws, requiring sherry to be bottled at the source rather than transported in casks.
Oh, that wasn't very nice of them.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, it was like a tariff. Anyway, suddenly the flow of empty sherry butts to Scotland dried up. With fewer sherry casks available and American bourbon barrels abundant and inexpensive after U.S. law mandated single use, Scotch producers gradually shifted their reliance to ex-bourbon barrels. Mm-hmm. Yay, U.S. Mm-hmm. I guess. Anyway, faced with the scarcity of sherry casks, distillers grew inventive. By the 1980s and 1990s, pioneers like Glenmorangie and the Balvenie popularized the technique of cask finishing, maturing whiskey primarily in ex-bourbon barrels before transferring it into sherry butts for the final maturation period. This allowed distillers to recapture the depth of sherry influence without committing up to full-term maturation. Mm-hmm. Balvenie's Doublewood 12 was a milestone release, making sherry finishing a signature style. Meanwhile, some distilleries doubled down on tradition. Abelard's Abuna, launched in 1997, returned to full-term sherry maturation, bottled at cask strength. Mm-hmm. Glendronach, after its revival in 2008, reignited enthusiasm for sherried single malts with its Oloroso and Pedro Ximenez expressions. I like the words they use in this whiskey world. So today, sherry casks are still rare, but many are specially seasoned in Spain with Oloroso or Pedro Ximenez sherry before being shipped to Scotland solely for the whiskey industry. Distilleries such as Macallan, Dalmore, Glendronach, and Glenfarclas continue to define the luxurious sherry bomb style, while others use sherry finishes to balance richness with lighter bourbon mature notes. And there you have...
I think it's fascinating that there's this whole economy of barrels and vats and casks floating all over the world, because we've had wine from that has been matured in, you know, wine barrels, port, white wine from Germany, red wine from Italy, you know, everything. So you just have this vision and, you know, the bourbon barrels and the sherry casks and the wine casks and just zipping around the world, which I think is really kind of cool.
It is. And it just, you know, especially when it first started, it was all part of the trade industry, right? And then it kind of died off a little bit because of the changing laws. And then,
but thank God those Americans wouldn't let you use a bourbon barrel more than once. So
that's right.
Yeah.
No. I'll have to look up the history on that one because I'm not sure why they did that. But maybe it's just to, you know, make more money somehow. But then they figured out a way to still continue using the trade, because now it sounds like they just season the barrels with the sherry and then ship the casks over. But it's still not as many as they had when they, you know, got the sherry casks that were actually used to make sherry. So, all right. So tonight we do have...
We have two wonderful sherried single malts. We have Edradour Caledonia, which is their 12-year aged sherry. And we have Glendronach Ode to the Dark. Which, and they are both a lovely dark amber color, I have to say. They're gorgeous.
Yes, and of course, the Edradour one is, we discovered that, I guess, did you just find it, John, at the store and said, oh, Judy, I like this, and you got it for me for Christmas? Or
was I saw it online first and wanted to get some, and it was going to cost a fortune, and I think I did locate some at Total Wine at some
point. Yeah, which is where I got this, the one that we're using today. So Edradour is one of the smaller distilleries in Scotland. It used to be just like two or three people working there. I don't know if that's still the case. It sounds like it in some resources, and other resources say, no, it's bigger than that now. I don't know.
I think it's still considered like a craft
kind of
distillery.
It's located in Pitlochry, which is a little town right at the beginning of the Highlands in Perthshire. And it's really a lovely, lovely place. So it's been sold, of course, a few times It was originally run by three men, with Duncan Forbes being one of the key figures. In 1933, the McIntosh family sold it to William Whiteley and Company. In 82, Pernod Ricard subsidiary Campbell Distillers acquired Edradour. And in 2002, the Signatory Vintage Scotch Whiskey Company, an independent bottler, purchased Edradour. And it's interesting that Signatory is also located in Pitlochry. So I don't know if there is how separate these two entities are or anything, but they're located very, very near each other. Let's see. A variety of whiskies are available from the post-2002 distillery, none of which ever employs artificial coloration or artificial darkening or color matching and adjustment from batch to batch. Nor do they ever use the process of, endorse, or engage in, nor present whiskies that have ever been chill filtered or anything like that. So that's their stand, which is kind of nice. So, also produced, I did not know this, 2 days a week, they produce a heavily peated version of Edradour called Balachin. I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced, but it is named after a former distillery that was nearby. So that's something. Excuse me, my throat is acting up today. So here we are, sniffing the Edradour Caledonia. And we have to say, we've had both of these before and like them a lot. So today we are kind of pitting them against each other. And we'll declare a victory, even though we will both like them both still.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
I know, it is a bit, yeah.
It's like choosing your favorite chocolate or something.
Okay, so as I said, the Caledonia is 12 years. It's bottled at 46% ABV. So it's a little stronger than your normal 42%. Woo, it's a spicy sniff.
But you can smell the dark fruit.
Yeah, it's a little bit alcohol at the first, but then you get the fruit and the sweetness.
But if you need to burn some nose hairs,
yeah, if you want to clear everything out there a bit.
Yeah. Yum, yum.
Lots of sherry, lots of raisins, fruit cakes, kind of dark plum.
I get a burn on my tongue. A
little bit. It's got some bite. Kind of a Christmas plum pudding kind of.
I've never had Christmas plum pudding. Well, so.
I don't know that I have either, but this is what I imagine it tastes like. If we're lucky, I mean, it could be.
Well, if we're lucky, or it could taste really horrible.
That's true. All right, so I got some very brief tasting notes from the Whiskey Exchange, and they said, in the nose, you should get soft, rounded, and fruity. I almost said fluty. And I was like, no, not fluty. That would be wrong. Sultanas and figs drizzled with honey and sprinkled with nutmeg. Now, again, I haven't had many figs lately that are sprinkled with honey and nutmeg, but it sounds good.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it sounds really good. Mm-hmm. What do you think, John? You have not had much to say.
I have not. I took a sip and it went down the wrong way, so I'm trying not to gasp and choke.
Have some water.
But, I'm actually, I can see a bit of honey. Definitely the dark fruit. It's just straight.
Yeah, the notes say there should be rich with dried fruit and spice, dark fruit cake notes, orange peel, singed raisins, and prunes.
Singed raisins? That sounds horrible.
Well, I don't think I would do that to a raisin myself.
Singeing is a bad... Why do they insist on using these bad words?
I don't know.
It's almost a curse word. Oh, well. No accounting for taste,
and then,
I guess.
And then for finish... That just gets better as you sip it.
Yeah, it does.
You lose that kind of alcohol burn that was there at first.
Because our tongue's numb.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's it. Anyway, it says finish is surprisingly dry with fruit and spice, which I think is absolutely true.
Definitely.
But
it is spicy.
It's spicy meatball.
All righty.
I would say the only singeing I got was when I swallowed it the wrong way.
Yeah, I bet you that was singy. Yeah.
Kind of burn going down. Yeah. But yeah, if you're careful with it, swish it around in your mouth a little bit and get some of that flavor.
And I got this just at our local Total Wine, and it was like, I think, $114. So it may be cheaper other places, you know, depending on taxes and all that sort of thing. But
and did you say that was a 12-year?
Yeah.
I was probably not paying attention.
I was going to see if there's anything else on the back that was...
It's funny. Marlis takes her glasses off to read the bottle. I have to put mine on.
I know.
We're like complete opposites. Yes. So, we just run the spectrum, don't we?
I could drive with them.
Because cars are pretty big, and you can see them even if you can't. Yeah.
They're only a little fuzzy around the edges.
Was there anything else interesting on the bottle?
No, not terribly. So, Kitlochry.
Yay. All right. So, we should move on to Glendronach. John, tell us about the distillery of Glendronach.
The history of the Glendronach Distillery. Founded in 1826 by James Allardyce, the Glendronach Distillery is one of Scotland's earliest licensed whiskey makers after the Excise Act of 1823. Located in the Forgue Valley, it's F-O-R-G-U-E, I don't think they would say it Forgue, but you never know. Yeah. The Forgue Valley of Aberdeenshire in the Highland region, it quickly developed a reputation for producing bold, rich, sherry single malts. Queen Victoria was reportedly fond of Glendronach.
Oh, woman of taste.
In 1837, a fire destroyed much of the distillery. With the financial backing of Walter Scott, not the novelist, but a local businessman, Glendronach was rebuilt and its operations continued. Over the following decades, ownership of the distillery changed hands several times. By the late 19th century, it was acquired by Teachers and Sons, the famous blenders, who prized Glendronach's robust Highland malt as a vital component of his plans. Getting tongue-tied here. Glendronach expanded in 1960, doubling its stills from 2 to 4 in order to meet increasing demand. Despite this growth, the whiskey industry faced hardships in the 1980s and 1990s, and in 1996 the distillery was mothballed. For 6 years, production ceased, leaving Glendronach silent until its revival in 2002. What makes Glendronach unique is its commitment to sherry cask maturation. Using Oloroso and Pedro Jimenez casks from Spain, the distillery creates whiskies renowned for their dark fruit-rich character layered with spice and sweetness. In 2008, the distillery was acquired by the Benriach Distillery Company, and in 2016, ownership passed again, this time to Brown-Forman, the American company behind Jack Daniel. Today, Glendronach produces some of the most respected sherry single malts in the world.
Cool. Now, I've had other younger Glendronachs as well that have been very tasty, I remember. Well,
I don't think this one has an age statement. I think that's something about it.
Oh, no, you're right. It doesn't.
Yeah. So we don't know if you've tasted younger ones or not. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Good point. Okay.
Released as part of the Masters Anthology series in late 2024, Ode to the Dark is one of three non-age statement releases, alongside Ode to the Valley and Ode to the Embers.
We'll have to try those.
I know.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Ode to the Dark is fully matured in Pedro Jimenez sherry casks, bottled at 50.8% alcohol by volume.
Woo-hoo!
Costs around $98 US.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is one I found online. I think it came up as an ad. Glendronach. Or maybe it was a post by somebody off our Instagram. Mm-hmm. Follow us on at Fun with Scotch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that looks really good. Mm-hmm. And I held out my phone to John and said, buy it for me. But we found it.
We tried that with the cat. Does it work?
No. Per Olaf, he's so stingy.
He is.
He's a stingy boy.
He is.
But we couldn't find it locally.
Mm-hmm.
So we found it at a shop in San Francisco that you can order online and have
nice.
Sent. And I don't think the shipping was horrible. I don't know, since I didn't actually buy it. You did.
Yeah. But I don't remember.
You don't remember.
I'm guessing maybe $30.
It might have been, but they have to pack. Well, it wasn't actually wrapped up as much as you would think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice because I said, well, we could have Bryn pick it up, and you know, their daughter lives down there. But it was just exciting that we could get it. So that's some place we could look for the other ones and see if they have it.
The other odes.
The other odes. Ode to Joy.
Yeah.
In the New Zealand mystery. Brokenwood.
Mm-hmm.
They remember the Odes family. They're the ones that are always getting into trouble. You've got Frankie Odes and Frodo Odes.
Frodo. He's my favorite.
He is. He's one of my favorite. Anyway, I digress.
Okay,
Sorry.
We're gonna sniff. What are we supposed to be smelling, Mr. John?
Well, the appearance is a deep black garnet. It says on the nose, you should be getting rich mocha, black cherry, dark chocolate, creme brulee, raisin, brown sugar, and ginger.
Okay, I don't get the ginger. I get all the dark fruits. And this is also one that will trim your nose hairs.
Mm-hmm.
Has that 50.8%.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I would guess it would be.
Distinct, strong alcohol.
But isn't it amazing the things that have that real alcohol presence? Not just these, but other. Of course, we haven't tasted this one yet. I'm kind of remembering it wasn't real alcohol-y.
Mm-hmm.
But how they have that strong alcohol odor. Aroma.
Mm-hmm.
Bad word, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drink it, and it's like, this is pretty smooth.
How soothing. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you detect with your nostrils, John? I'm trying to think of a good way to say it.
Okay.
That's what I came up with.
Well, you know, I'm detecting with my eyes reading, I suppose.
Yeah, let me pluck some in your eye and see what you detect.
I can hear the ocean off the island.
Those would be things that have been put on a boat and matured out on the ocean.
I know.
I can hear the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? There's a lot of smell.
I was going to say, you know, people always say they smell chocolate, and I'm not. That's not something I usually associate with scotch, but I think I can get a little whiff of that here.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. The dark fruit's more subtle in this, and maybe it's that chocolate essence part that does that. I don't necessarily smell chocolate, but I just feel like the dark fruit aroma is not as strong in this one.
Oh, God, that's good.
Yeah, when I hold it a certain distance, not too far away from my nose, but not too close. You know, I do feel like I'm smelling chocolate. Definitely the raisin, the black cherry, and even the brown sugar. Yeah, I don't know what I would be smelling if I smelled ginger.
It's kind of a treacle.
What that would be like.
But, define treacle for me.
Well, it's like a brown sugar molasses, the kind of thing that you put on little things. A sauce that you would put on little cakes, like a treacle tart.
Okay. I mean, I've heard the term, but I never actually...
Yeah, I think it's actually supposed to be more molasses, but, Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me to find a molasses somewhere wandering around in there.
My stomach just not growled, but made like gurgly noises, and I'm really hoping it did not come, wasn't loud enough for the microphone, since it's pointing directly at me.
But of course, that's not.
No, but you did tell everyone, so there you go.
They'll be listening.
Yeah, they'll be
back. Turn it up.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good. They are both so good.
It is really good.
Whoever wins today, do not buy either of them if you can find them. Yeah.
Don't buy either of them?
No. Buy either of them.
It sounded like you said don't buy.
You did say do not, and then you hesitated, and then you said
do not. Avoid either of them. Okay. Perhaps. Yes. Would be a better way to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that up so they weren't confused.
Bring them home and make them your friends, you know.
Oh yeah, hug them, squeeze them, love them forever.
Put them in a nice place, drink them a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so well, do you know how hard it was to not drink this entire bottle before this podcast?
Judy actually told me they had Ode to the Dark at home, and she actually told me we have to schedule this quick or I'm going to drink it all.
Because sometimes we tend to, you know, lollygag and drag our feet. And I was afraid we would drag, because I was keeping myself to only having one glass a week. That's what I do with more expensive, you know, things. And I was like, yeah, if we drag our feet on this one, it's going to be gone. I'm going to have to buy another bottle. Oh, darn. But still, probably not great for my budget to do that.
They are both. Can I have a sip of your water?
Yes, of course.
So on the palate, it's supposed to be velvety and indulgent with espresso, creme caramel, black grape, and mint chocolate ganache.
Ooh. That mint I'm not getting.
Mint chocolate. Yeah,
but that's partly, I don't like mint particularly, so I'm not.
Well, aren't you glad then?
Yeah.
We'd hate for that to be the deal breaker for you.
That is velvety. That has a really nice texture to it.
And I would say that gives it a point over.
Well, now we have to go back and try the other one.
Though. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Now we're.
What's the finish on? Was that
a
the finish?
A and B in it. Okay.
No. What's the finish? It's long and complex with cocoa bitterness, dark fruit sweetness, a light saltine touch, and warming black pepper.
I get the pepper.
Yeah.
Saltines, pepper. I'm not sure.
No. What was the other part?
Dark fruit sweetness.
Yes.
Definitely. Cocoa bitterness.
No. Not for me.
Not for me.
Hey, I got different taste buds than
you. That's true.
Yeah. Then watch it.
She's feisty today.
Yeah.
I tell you, like usual.
Yeah. I'm feistier today because John let me sleep till 7:30 a.m. I think I slept 11 hours. Well, I was in bed 11 hours. I was awake kind of, sort of, for a couple. You know how you kind of wake up and then you don't go totally asleep. Mm-hmm. And I pet the cat for a while because he likes to sleep in between us.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes that.
I know.
And
this is Jack or Tom?
Oh, no, Jack's not allowed on that side of the house because he's an indiscriminate peer.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, he's a little bad boy. But he's my lovey-dovey during the day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the other side of the house.
All right.
I just want to have to clean up stuff on one side of the house.
I can understand that.
But no, this is Tommy.
Okay.
And he also hissed at Phoebe and scared her away, and I wasn't happy about that.
He's a bit of an asshole, but he's orange.
He's orange.
Yeah.
You know, and
he's your basic orange guy.
Yeah.
Long hair.
Long hair, yeah. But anyway.
So when they say cocoa bitterness.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you know, it does remind me of dark chocolate in that sense.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Well, and you're a lover of bittersweet chocolate as well.
Yeah, that's true
too. So
good stuff.
He is.
So
he's always on the hunt for bittersweet chocolate ice cream. And I think we actually had to make some.
It's very hard to find. I used to. There was a time, I swear, I must have been the late 70s when I could find it all the time, constantly. Mm. And I just bought that every time I got ice cream. I bought that. And I loved it. And
you were probably the only person who bought it.
Possibly. That may be why I can't find it anymore.
But, I mean, it is pretty good. I mean, when we made the ice cream, it was really good. Actually, speaking of that, this on top of bittersweet chocolate ice cream would be heavenly.
But
just saying.
Yeah, except.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like a tablespoon or something.
We're not going to drown it. We're just going to
Just a little added. Not like with the brown sugar, you know,
bourbon.
That
is excellent on ice cream. Just saying.
ESB, baby. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's another podcast. Look for it on our spreadsheet. It's on our website.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is so good.
Okay, so now I have tasted both of them again.
Mm-hmm.
It occurs to me, and this could be just an ABV thing, that the Edradour Caledonia is a little bit lighter in texture.
It is.
It doesn't have quite that kind of oily, velvety feel.
Well, and
to
if
it.
You kind of do the, you the know, legs thing, that I think the Glendronach is a little thicker.
A little bitter.
A little bitter? What?
A little better.
Okay.
I meant. Vowels, they're interchangeable.
Yeah, especially when drinking. Yeah. I mean, but still, they're both really good. But yeah, so which one, Marlis, is your ultimate thumbs up? And it's okay to say both. This is okay.
Okay. If someone had a gun to my head, which fortunately no one does, and I really appreciate that.
Nobody here with guns. Thank you.
You know, and they said, choose one. I would probably choose the Glendronach Ode to the Dark. It's just, and it may be partly that it's, you know, 4, almost 5% more concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it just has that concentration of flavor and texture that is amazing. That being said, I would never refuse Caledonia a place in my cabinet. And in fact, this is the third bottle I've bought.
Yeah.
So
is it really?
It is.
Miss on a fixed income.
Yeah, well, you decide what you do with that income, however.
This is true.
And this
she,
is it.
She must really like it.
I do.
As someone who knows Marlis, she is not a
wild
free spender.
No.
She really has to like something to buy it.
Yeah, but I really do like it. In fact, I'm doing, my friend Mary, you know, is retiring, and we're doing a on the beach thing with her family and friends and everything. And I'm doing a whiskey tasting, and I'm using the Glenkinchie, the lowland that we did last time, a Glengoyne, which is a highland. Technically, although it's really weird, it's something like it's distilled in the highlands, but their maturation area is in the lowlands, so it's like right on the border.
It's like it's a high-low-land.
I know. Kind of, yeah. Anyway.
That's his.
A Talisker Storm to get some smoke in there. And then after they finish those three, then they get the Caledonia, which I think is like,
What are you going to do if they don't like it?
Shoot them.
You don't have a gun.
Well, all right. I may have to buy one.
I guess
one.
You might have. No. You can borrow one. No.
Thank you.
That's against the law. Anyway, you could hit him on the head with the empty Caledonia bottle.
I know.
I'm just. Well, you can lash them with your tongue.
Which, after you've been drinking,
might be.
A little looser than normal is what you're saying.
Yes. Because Marlis is not usually a tongue lasher.
No.
I, on the other hand, most likely would be more of a tongue lasher without having drunk anything or something.
Edradour, I've done like whiskeys, you know, and tried to introduce people to whiskey that don't like whiskey. And Edradour is the one that makes them think, oh, well, this isn't too bad.
It's a great the distillery is awesome. Really sad that you weren't able to visit when you were there.
We were in, my friend Mary and I went to Scotland, and we went to Pitlochry. We were there for like 3 days. And unfortunately,
Pitlochry was closed.
No, Pitlochry was open. But the Edradour Distillery was closed for visitors. We were so sad. But we went to the Blair Athol Distillery, which was really fun. And their single malt was also very tasty, though not, you know, a heavy sherry bomb like these guys.
Yeah. But we need to make up a sherry bomb song.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could put it to the tune of the cherry.
Yeah, sherry bomb.
Anyway.
Fortunately, none of us are musical, so you're pretty safe.
Yeah,
just saying.
John plays a guitar.
That's right.
I took piano lessons and sang in the choir.
I took accordion lessons. About? That's not a...
Oh, God.
In the Lawrence Welk era. Myron Florin was very cool in those days.
He was. This
Jimi Hendrix
true.
Had to choose between the accordion and the guitar.
There you go.
You know, he was thinking about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So don't tell us we aren't musical, Marlis. All three of us have had.
I'm standing by that.
Yours is a little suspect. But I actually sang in the choir for many years.
I did too, but that was just because my mother made me.
Oh, no, I wanted to. And John was in a jazz band in high school and plays the guitar.
Wow.
Well, He plays at the guitar, he mm-hmm. would say, I'm sure. But and I took piano lessons, yeah, but I can play chopsticks and fur elise. That's pretty much the height of my...
Not bad.
And it's the, you know, the low-level fur elise. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm, not... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing fancy.
But
winding back to our subject, yeah.
John.
Which subject?
Which is your favorite?
My favorite is the Glendronach. But as you said, you know, the Caledonia is amazing, and they're both amazing. But if you have them side by side and you're tasting both of them, I think the Glendronach edges it out just a little bit. Mm-hmm.
And do you think it's mostly the strength? As opposed to the actual distilled flavor? Or now, okay, let me go back to the beginning. Is Glendronach totally sherry matured? Sherry cask matured?
Do we know?
Well, read what it says. I don't remember.
We have
the
notes.
The Dark is fully matured in Pedro Jimenez.
Okay, so that may be, yeah. So. And I don't know that Edredour may be finished in sherry as opposed, I don't know.
But it still
I don't
has.
That's in my notes.
You don't remember your what you said.
I just think if the if the Edredour Caledonia was the same.
Oh no, it is matured exclusively in Oloroso sherry casks.
Okay,
in waves of sherry influence.
Okay, so that's okay. Oloroso versus Pedro Jimenez.
Uh huh.
Yes,
and 46% versus 50.8%.
Yeah, it's also slightly lower alcohol, which means. There's more concentration of the of the sherry flavors, probably.
So that's the big difference. Yeah.
Both of these, though, if you are sitting around either by yourself by a fireside as it rains or snows or sleets outside, either of these would be an excellent companion. And either of these would be if you are at a family hoo-ha and there are many small children running around and you are standing against the wall trying to stay out of the traffic pattern. Either of these would be an excellent companion.
And if the small children are annoying you and you just want to calm your nerves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just got them to bed and it's like finally quiet.
Yeah. Do I get to pick mine?
Yes, you do.
No.
I just had to do my rant against small children. Actually,
you
my individual
a,
small children.
I did more of a rant against small children
not
than
small
you
children
did.
En masse, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, and I have had small children.
I know. Right? I don't understand that at all, but yeah.
Yet,
I know.
Sometimes they neither are, do I. Yeah,
they're really cute.
We still don't understand.
Yeah. They were really cute then. They're really cute now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they survived childhood with me, but they did.
Mm-hmm. So, cheers to them.
Yes.
Well, they're both adults.
And only have to take a little bit of therapy.
Cheers.
Okay.
Go.
Right.
Them, not
go
me.
Kids.
Well, no. I don't have. I'm not in therapy because of them. I'm in therapy because of me.
Okay.
Anyway, I too wouldn't turn down either one of these ever.
Mm-hmm.
I love both of them, but I am also a Glendronach. Well, I don't know what word I'm looking for.
You would vote there if forced. Is that what you're
well,
saying?
Well, not forced, but you know if I had to choose again, it is like choosing your favorite child. It's you know, you don't want to because you love both of them, but and you love them probably for slightly different reasons, right?
Yes, yes.
And but the Glendronach, it is velvety. It's smooth. It's got the more of a sherry balm to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't consider Edredour a sherry balm. Necessarily, not compared to Glendronach.
Maybe not.
But again, just don't drink them together.
No, yes,
drink them separate.
That's right.
Many weeks apart, so that you don't compare them, because then you'll be like, oh, this is better, you know. But I'm sure there is many a person out there that would pick Edredour over.
Mm-hmm.
Glendronach, but maybe because of the high alcohol content, because that isn't quite as high.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't as
fond of that.
Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
My sister had a bunch of grandchildren, and she took when they
she
turned.
Had, where'd happen
well,
to
she
them?
Still has actually,
okay.
Yeah. But she took each of them on a trip when they turned 13,
oh.
And the trip was.
I'm trying to figure out where this is going since we're talking about scotch.
Well, no,
and
but they would you know, each child had a different adventure with their grandmother.
Yeah.
But it was individual time with the grandmother, which was important. But you know, I think what you have here is a younger child and an older child, even though there isn't an age statement on the Glendora.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like a slightly less intense and a slightly more intense of the same thing. And they are both just lovely.
Or it's two children with different personalities. One's more intense than the other. I have two children that are very, very different.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I'm not going to tell you which one is which. Mm. I'm not going to tell you which one of my children is Edgedower and which one is Mike Gondronach. Not going to do it. Not even if you put a gun to my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they might actually listen to this, which is doubtful, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Per Olaf, the cat, is... God, I don't know what he is. He might be...
He's a Glendronach.
No.
No? He's got a fuzzy mitten. Which is velvety.
I know.
He's got a strong personality.
Well, okay. All right. Here's to you, my dear.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm cooking today. Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Marlis is knocking everything out.
Usually when I pour out the drams before the podcast, I pour like... I'm sparse, shall we say, because we don't want to be completely ripped by the time we're done. Mm-hmm. But when there are only two, I gave us each a good shot. You know, so, sorry.
Apparently she gave herself more than anybody else because she's playing... See, you said you weren't musical.
There you go, man. Oh, God. All right. No, stop.
You did that one.
Anyway. Either of these are just lovely, and whatever you can find in your local liquor store or a local whatever.
Though they might go for the Glendronach since it technically is cheaper if they can buy it locally.
Is it?
It was only $98.
Oh, you're kidding.
Uh-oh. Though we did get it from California.
But I think the Caledonia is... Edgedower in general is less accessible simply because they don't produce a huge amount.
I think their price point tends to be higher because they are smaller. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like going, you know, buy local, you know, and if you go to local producers of something, a lot of times it's more expensive because they're small businesses. Mm-hmm. So I think Edgedower is probably considered a small business, technically. When it comes to distilleries, so their prices are going to be higher because they probably have to pay more stuff, you know, pay more higher prices because they don't more higher prices. Yes, I have a master's degree. Anyway, obviously not in English.
And that's more better.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just spitballing, but that's how I make things make sense in my head. Mm-hmm. And the Glendronach is I am, from what we're hearing from the information that we were able to receive from Mr. Google, is a larger distillery network. So
yeah, that could be.
It probably can buy things more in bulk, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, try both of them at some point if you can get your hands on them.
Yeah, if you can find either one, you will be very happy with it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, your taste may vary. Your mileage may vary.
You may not be a sherry cask kind of person. Mm-hmm. We just all seem to like sherry cask, me especially. Mm-hmm. But we promise future episodes will be about something other than sherry cask. If you have a recommendation for... something you think we should do a podcast on.
Yeah, definitely. Please let us know.
Or a podcast, an episode. We don't want to do a whole podcast on it. An episode on, shoot us an email at funwithscotch@gmail.com.
That's right.
Until next time, everyone, sayonara.
Bye.
Arrivederci.